to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want to share with you this morning a message that most of us know to some degree of detail, but oftentimes we read past the scripture, we read through it, and we come away with somewhat of a superficial understanding. And so I want to dig down a little bit into the details and share with you a very common passage of scripture that I think probably most of us have read. But we'll start in Hebrews before we go to Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, and he wrote this in the fourth verse. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place, your grace and your mercy upon our lives. And we'd ask you this morning, Lord, that you'd open the scripture in our ears. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to perceive. And give us minds, God, that will retain that which we hear. Father, we ask you that you penetrate our hearts with the gospel today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, thanking you for it. Father, as well, I want to ask you that you bless the offering this morning, all of those that give here in the worship room and across the webcast, that those lives, those families would be blessed, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out upon them blessings. All those that helped, Lord, to buy the mattresses for the Pakistan orphanage, I ask you that you'd return it upon them in such a way that they know that the Lord has blessed them. We pray it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. So Paul in Hebrews is summarizing the passage that we're going to look at today. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. It's where all the faith giants are at. And he goes all the way back to the beginning, which I believe that if you can understand the first four chapters of Genesis, it takes you a long way into understanding the human dilemma. And it takes you a long way to understanding God's redemptive plan, because it's all there in the first pages of Genesis. But Paul begins by saying that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, meaning that Abel, his offering, his sacrifice, was better than the one that Cain offered up. He goes on to say, by which, speaking of the sacrifice, by which Abel obtained witness that he was righteous before God, God testifying of his gifts. It just simply means, based on Abel's sacrifice, that God honored him in a public way simply by accepting his sacrifice. And if you go to Genesis, you realize that Abel laid his sacrifice. It was the firstlings of the flock. He laid them upon the altar. And many commentators believe he never ignited it. He never started the fire, but that fire actually fell from heaven and ignited his sacrifice, showing that God accepted. He was accepting of his sacrifice. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, by the sacrifice, Abel being dead, yet speaketh. It tells us that Abel, in this act, in the beginning pages of humanity, that his act continues to speak to the generations, 6,000 years of people that have come and gone. And it continues to speak to us now. And what does his act tell us? What does it say to us? It says simply this. It still requires the blood. The blood is still necessary. Man cannot come to God outside of a blood offering. And the blood offering for us, New Testament saints, is the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary's cross for one reason only. That's so you and I could have right standing with God, that we could be adopted back into the family of God. You see, it's not by our merit. It's not by our strength, our intellect, or whatever talents or skills we possess. That has nothing to do with it. There's only one way in, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not something new that God has just come up with. This is not plan B. But immediately in the garden, When Adam sinned in the garden, Eve first partook of the forbidden fruit. She gave to Adam. He partook of it. Both of them immediately fell into a sinful condition. And the first thing that God did, because they were naked. Remember, God didn't create them with clothes. But they didn't even know they were naked until they sinned. And so God, in his mercy, he made them a covering. The scripture says that he made them coats of skin. Now you have to understand what that means. An animal can't give up its coat of skin unless it dies. You can't take the hide off an animal without killing it. And so it's believed by many commentators that God performed the first sacrifice to show Adam, this is how you have right standing with me. That an innocent victim must die, that the sinfulness of our sin can be forgiven before God. And so they had made aprons of fig leaves, which were insufficient. So God made them coats of skin. It was to cover their bodies because our human bodies are not made to withstand the elements. I mean, the weather can change by just a few degrees and you can feel it on your skin. We're not created for that. So he gave them coats of skin to cover their nakedness, protect their physical bodies. But the blood that came with that coat of skin, it covered them from the wrath of God. See, many times we say, well, I'm saved. Well, thank God. But you have to know what you're saved from. You're saved from God. You're saved from his wrath falling upon our sinful conditions. And oh, thank God that we have a sacrifice. We have a more excellent sacrifice that gives us right standing with God so that when wrath comes, it's like the original Passover, the wrath of God passes over those who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's go and take a look at the book of Genesis and how these two young men, Cain being the elder and Abel his younger brother, how they conducted themselves. Genesis chapter 4, and I'll begin reading with verse 3. Now remember, both of these sons are born of the same parents. Both of them were born outside of Eden and had never had really a relationship with God. But verse 3 says that in the process of time, it came to pass. It means that these young boys, they grew up never offering sacrifices, but watching Adam, watching their father, realizing that their father had explained to this, and the weight of their personal sin began to weigh heavy on them. And they grew to a point that they realized, we need to bring a sacrifice to God. You know, isn't it funny how when you're young like a toddler, you're not even aware that you're doing wrong. You're just cutting up all over the place, no accountability, nothing. But as you begin to grow into adolescence and young adulthood, the weight of guilt begins to hang heavy on you. And that's what happened to these young men. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now get this, Cain is the older. He should have the better understanding. And he realized, I need to bring God a sacrifice, but he deviated from God's prescribed order. He said, I'm not going to mess with that blood. It's just, ooh, it's just gross. I don't want to do that. So he was a tiller of the land, so he got the best produce in his garden. And he brought them and he set them upon the altar. And his mistake was that produce that came from his garden, number one, when he sinned, God cursed the ground for his sake. Adam came from the ground too, so he had a degree of that curse upon him, but yet he worked, he sowed the seed, he tilled the land, he grew the vegetation, and he brought it to God, but it reflected the works of his own hands. Here's what I did. Here's what I prepared. He brought the main sin is that he deviated from God's order. And when you look at planet Earth today, multiplied billions of dollars who are very religious, but they deviate. Have you ever noticed everybody loves God until you give them a name? Everybody loves God. The Hindus love God. The Buddhists love God. Islam loves God. Everybody loves God. They got one religion. Their God is smoking dope. It's an actual religion. They smoke weed for their religion. And everybody loves God until you say his name is Jesus. And then people begin to get offended. See, the world is not anti-God. The world is anti-Christ. And they're anti-Christ because God says, and in fact, Jesus said himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man, no woman, nobody comes to the Father except you come through his blood sacrifice. Saints, today, if you're covered in the blood of Jesus, you don't know what a precious gift you've been giving. What a precious thing that is. The vast majority of the world this morning does not know what you live every day. They don't know what it is to walk in a relationship with God. When I woke up this morning, my mind was on Jesus. I was talking to him as I brushed my teeth, as I drove to church to prayer, as I prayed, as I drove back all morning, my mind is upon him. I'm in a living relationship with him. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. I care what he thinks. I care if my life is making him happy. I care about what he said in his word. I care about his people. And I know you do too if you're covered in the blood, because that's what it is to be changed. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. Now, that means that Abel, he went to his flock. He didn't get one little animal. That's plural, firstlings. He gave God a big offering in terms of what he put upon the altar. And the fat thereof, you can't get the fat of your flock without killing the animals. And he laid the carcasses on the altar. And again, many theologians feel that God he ignited that from heaven. Fire fell from heaven. And showing that God accepted that one. Now, no fire fell on Cain's sacrifice. It was just dry. It was just nothing happened. And then when his baby brother Abel, which was at least 1 year, but possibly 5 years younger than him, he comes up with his little offering and puts it on there, and the heavens open and fire falls. I mean, that's a slap in the face. That means you got it wrong, brother. And the Lord, the next phrase says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now, again, both of these young men were sinners. Both of them were born outside of Eden. They were in the exact same condition. But how is it then that God would accept Abel's sacrifice and Abel, but would not accept Cain's? How is that? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without a confession, Jesus died for me. He is my Lord and my Savior. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much you pray. If you don't accept Jesus, you're in the same boat with Cain. You can fast until you're skin and bones. You can do all type of religious works and religious calisthenics, all that you want to, but that does not bring you into right relationship with God outside of the blood sacrifice. We have to have Jesus. The Lord had respect unto Abel, get this, and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So the scripture has linked the sinner with the sacrifice. If you have the right sacrifice and God accepts your sacrifice, he accepts the sinner who offered it. If God rejects the sacrifice, he also rejects the sinner who offered it. And there are many now, even within Christian circles, who have a sacrifice, but it's not Jesus Christ. There are people that they're knee deep, they're hip deep in religion. But Jesus is not the center. He has to be the center of everything in our lives. Check your own life this morning. Is he a Sunday morning God or is he an everyday God? Is he a God when you're in trouble and you need help? Or is he a God that helps you even when you're not in trouble? Who's lifting you up? Who's convicting you? Who's causing you to walk right before him? How many know there's times you and I don't want to walk right? Come on, just be honest. There's sometimes, Lord, I'd rather do this. I'm really not interested in doing that. And we walk that way for a while. Well, oh, I really should be doing that, but I'd rather do this. And God begins to rub on us with his conviction. And he begins to show us that his way is ultimately better for us. He doesn't do it as a mean and punishing God. He does it as a loving father, trying to keep us out of a mess. So God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He fully rejects Cain's. This morning, although the planet is full of religion in every nation, the vast majority of it is totally rejected by God. And this is why you are hated. Not only here in the nation, you're hated all over the world because you live for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm gonna mention something we've seen in the news. I'm not trying to be political. It's just, it's been in the news. We need to talk about it. One of the most ungodly sins is the sexual perversion of trying to make yourself be with someone of your own sex. And it's hidden under gender ideology, but it's the erasure of sex. The two different sexes. I said two different sexes. There's only two. And you can use the word gender. It doesn't matter. Still only two sexes. And so you have this segment of society that has for decades been in this homosexual lesbian mindset who now have opted to say, that's not enough anymore. Now we have to be transgender too. You have to take whatever medicines or surgical procedures to change yourself to the other sex, which does not change your chromosomes. And that part of society is in total rebellion against God, and they hate God because God, he doesn't let reality bend. Reality is what it is. And we saw it in Minnesota. Was it Minnesota or Minneapolis? One of the two. That a group of these people, led by a homosexual man who is married to another man, into God's house, into a church, to disrupt it. Why a church? Why not a library? Why not a courthouse? There's 100 different places you could have done this protest, but they did it in God's house. It's because this world, although it's hidden by our civility, hates God and hates his way. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And right now, nobody might not be slapping you only because of our civility, but it's quickly eroding. And we're going to find that what happened to Abel is going to happen in our culture. Verse six says, Cain was very wroth. Now again, God accepted Abel and his sacrifice. He rejected Cain and his sacrifice. Verse 6, and Cain was very wroth. That word wroth, it means intensely angry. It means that he was burning with resentment and indignation that God would reject him. And all his basket of fruit or whatever that he was, and he would accept his baby brother. He was angry. So much so that God noticed and he said, if thou doest well, he's talking now to Cain, if thou doest well, meaning that if you can live this life with no sinful activity, you don't need a sacrifice. If you can do well, if you can live, keep all the commandments, never fail in any of them, not one time in your whole life from the time you're a child, he said, then you're good to go. But none of us can do that. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, meaning that if you've had missteps, you've had errors, sinful activity has been in your life. If you do it not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, this word sin in the Greek is chataa, and it means a sin offering. So he was telling Cain, listen, if you can walk it out perfectly, then I will accept you. But if you can't, sin is at the door, meaning a sin offering right outside of your little home is where you keep your flock. Go out there to your flock and get an animal and sacrifice it. And God is saying, and I'll accept you too. You know what God is saying to the world today? No matter who they are, they can be cartel members. They can be assassins. They can be pedophiles. It doesn't matter what they've done or who they are. He's saying, if you'll get the right sacrifice, I will accept you and I will help you and I will lift you up. But the world, like Cain, says, I will not do it. I will not do it. If thou doest well, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And here it is, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now stop right there. He's burning with indignation and resentment. He is angry on the inside, but he's not showing it. The thin civility is covering his true heart. And it's just having a conversation, just like you and I have conversations with unsaved people all the time. People who actually might have an inward animosity towards Christ, the church, and the things of God. And on our job, in the workplace, the marketplace, and we may have conversations with many of these people, and it seems like they're not that bad. And this day, I'm sure Abel was saying, yeah, this is just my big brother. I love him. He taught me how to hunt or whatever that he might have taught him. He had no idea. Isn't it amazing how we can be so deceptive? Have you ever noticed? Everybody said, no, I never noticed. All of us, we have a huge capacity to deceive. We can do it from our facial expressions to the way that we move to actual verbal deception that comes from our lips. Amazing capacity. And that's what Cain was doing this day. Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, meaning no one was looking, meaning there were no witnesses, that inward animosity, that resentment, that indignation, that rage that he was feeling because God didn't accept him or his sacrifice, exploded on his baby brother. And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. Now, this is the template for the human race. Right now, in the nation of Africa, there is a genocide of Christianity. They don't post it in our news very often. You have to go look for it. But Christians are being slaughtered every single day for no other reason than they love Jesus Christ. Right now, just read this in the news this morning. In Iran, Christians are being herded up and being slaughtered. Because whenever liberty is being restricted, Christians are the first one who have to go because we love liberty. And God has made us free and we won't live in bondage. And so you'll find even in this nation that Christianity will come under attack. If you remember just a few years ago, it was already under attack. Sometimes you have to pay attention to know what's happening. When the COVID thing was happening, they closed the churches, but they left the bars open. Don't tell me that's not an attack. And many of us, we walk around in the cloud with our head in the cloud and we got political minds and we excuse everything. Listen, they closed the churches, but they left the strip bars open. Now, which one's got the most germs? And sometimes you have to see through all of the mist and the cloud to see what is really happening. And as soon as the political winds shift to the degree that they can attack the church again, saints, we know, the scripture tells us that many in the last days, many are going to lose their lives. And it's already happening. Just because it's not happening in the U.S. doesn't mean it's not happening. And it's always been happening. There are two people, groups of people, that the unsaved world hate. Number one is Jewish people. Because God gave them the commandments to give to the human race. And the human race has never forgiven them. Forgiven them God's moral code. Number two is the Christian, because the Christian has embraced Christ and has had not only their sacrifice accepted, but they themselves are accepted with their sacrifice. I'll read one last passage and we'll stop for today. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking. And this is the outshoot of what happened in Genesis, where Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. Jesus says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now get this now. The reason that Cain slew his brother was, number one, was the sacrifice. Number two is because you were accepted with the sacrifice. And this world right now, it hates the sacrifice of Calvary. And because you have accepted it and God has accepted you because of that sacrifice, it's going to hate you too. This is why you can't go to your job and say, Jesus is Lord. I love the Lord. They'll fire you in a heartbeat. You can't go to the school and say, Jesus is my God. They'll kick your babies out. Simply because it's not acceptable to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care how you politicize that. You cannot have an open relationship with Jesus Christ and be accepted by this world system. It's not so. You got to hide it to some degree. Because as soon as the word is out, you're one of them. Did I not see you with Jesus? What will your answer be? I never knew him. I've never walked with him. I'm one of y'all. I will warm my hands at the fire with the rest of the world. Or will you stand and say, yes, I'm one of them? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, I've done my best to share the message. Lord, to make clear that in the body of the scripture, even the opening pages of human history, that we see the conflict between the blood-washed and those who are not. And Lord, there's but one way that we can enter into relationship with you is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your plan of redemption. We thank you for providing a sacrifice for us that we might be reconciled. Lord, not through our works, not through our persons, not through our talents and abilities, but merely by faith in what Jesus did for us. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning? If you're blood washed this morning, why don't you just, for just a few moments, just thank Jesus. Just begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. I thank you that you've given me the gift of your only begotten Son. Lord, that I might just simply believe upon him and not perish and have eternal life. Lord, I could not have done it myself. There's nothing that I can produce to satisfy your divine judgment. But Lord, I just simply place my faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out to the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Lincoln, for that message. As we see how things are winding down, we really need the Lord. We need to stay focused, stay on track, and no matter how much they hate us, we still have to dig in even closer to be with the Lord. Thank you all for joining us here this morning at Christ Unveiled, in-house and online. We're glad that you tuned in. And for the visitors that came this morning, we're glad that you came. Come back anytime. You're more than welcome. If you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you please do so and help us in supporting the kingdom of God. And Torrence Nash will be here February the 21st. That's on a Saturday, and that service starts at 7 o'clock. And he will be here the next day on the 22nd for both services, the 9 and 11. Please make plans to try and make it, because last time he came, he was very good. You will be blessed. And we want to thank all you who supported the Pakistan Orphanage. And with this, I'm going to say a quick prayer and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, help us to keep our eyes open and our hearts near you, that we can go out and still hold our heads up, because we are Christians and we are your child, Father God. Help us to not be ashamed of being a Christian. Help us to help those around us to see you in us, God, so that they may ask, what is it that I may need to do to become saved? And I pray, Father God, also that the offering that we take up this morning, that it will be blessed tenfold and we can do even more work for you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.